Rosie, have you seen examples of where it works well, where it works badly?
Yes, I've been part of a virtual team that was the best team I ever worked in, actually. And I think, knowing the kind of people you're working with, obviously you speak very highly of them and you kind of trust their judgment. And I suppose the really important thing at this stage is to understand that the kind of people you're working with are naturally, they're self-starters. They love being out and about. The idea of being cooped up in an office staring at each other all day, probably their idea of hell. All anybody needs to do a good job is a purpose. They need to know what they're doing, why and how. They need the resources to do it, and they need feedback. And that's all we need. You know, there's other stuff that gets tagged on, but actually those are the kind of the three fundamentals. And as long as they're getting that, you're kind of... I mean, I would, in terms of... communication is important wherever you're going, and particularly if you're having these highs and lows, you need to stay in touch, obviously. It might be an idea to schedule time, so you don't suddenly, blimey, a week's gone by and I haven't spoken to them, so that they know that it's a meeting, you know it's a meeting, and you're just catching up, whether it's on Skype or online or on the phone, just so that there is that contact and they can ask the random questions. Because the thing about a virtual team is you don't have the space where people suddenly come up with an idea or share an idea or develop an idea or a question. They don't want to make a phone call to ask a dumb question. So you need to find a way of creating that. But I think, find an excuse to get people together from time to time. Yeah. But they're self-starters. Mm. For a really good understanding, all of them have a different motivation. You have to understand that you're not going to get a one-size-fits-all management tool for them. It might be an idea to do some profiling so you know exactly what you're dealing with, or even ask them, what are you motivated by? And people come up with some interesting answers, then you know how to do it.
And do you instinctively have a feel for how big that can get before you think it becomes unwieldy or unmanageable?
I don't know the size of the biggest virtual team, but I bet there are lots of large virtual teams, some successful, some less so. I think thankfully, we're getting past the thing where working from home was a euphemism for staying in bed. So hopefully, we're finding people who are self-starters, they're good at it, they keep it going. As long as they've got those three things, purpose, resources and feedback, it doesn't matter what the size of the team is, they're always going to be, but then the bigger the team, the more communication you're going to have to do.
You touched on it earlier, Rosie. I can't remember if it was Google or Microsoft or who it was, but in one of their headquarters, when they're at the forefront of sharing things online, they always insisted there was no coffee machine on any of the floors. You always had to go to the cafeteria at the top, because they forced everybody to be in the same place at least once a day just to have random conversations, because you never knew what might come out of it. Do you find that a challenge in terms of, it's not, you're not going to miss it because you wouldn't know that it's happening if it's not happening, if that makes sense. But how do you, those kind of opportune conversations that lead to innovation, how can you make sure that happens?
I think the opportune conversations are nice to have, but the technology now allows you to have them online, although it's perhaps not quite as tactile, to use the expression again. But what we do is we have a weekly conference call with everybody, and that's kind of compulsory. And we at the end of every conference call, we create a set of agendas/minutes for the next conference call, and we just leave that open on our system. So that during the week, if you come up with a brainwave, you can just drop it straight into the agenda for next week. And it's self-populating. People do it themselves. They don't ask for it to be put on the agenda. So we don't have to... That cuts down an awful lot of emails of people saying, oh, what was that? What about this idea? What about that? They just leave it for next week. So that's really useful. And there's also, of course, the instant messaging, which we also use. So if, rather than picking up the phone, you can just instant message someone. It doesn't mean they have to answer straight away, but they can answer, and you can bring other people into the conversation and so on. So there's things like that. But I take the point entirely that they may be self-starters, but they need other things as well. We are very fortunate, and we've got some really good people. And what I was very keen on when we started the company was that we had the right people on the bus, hopefully in the right seats, to start off with, and I think that's what we've got.